From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to another edition of Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. I appreciate you taking the time to make this program part of your day. Some of you do that every day that we're on the air. And many of you have been kind enough to be in touch with us to tell us what the Lord has done by way of blessing you through the ministry of His Word here in Let the Bible Speak. So we're glad you're with us today. Thank you for that. And I trust you'll stay with us as we, in a few minutes, return to our study of the life of Christ, and particularly what He says about His people in the Sermon on the Mount. First, however, we start with our hot topic, our daily commentary, The Atheist Delusion. A book by the man who's perhaps the world's most visible atheist apologist has gained a lot of publicity in the secular press. Richard Dawkins is a claimed atheist, a scientist, and a total believer in an evolutionary process that he says accounts for everything without reference to God. Dawkins titled his latest book, The God Delusion. According to him, God is a delusion, the product of a virus of the mind, an invention of sick or suffering humans, who have as much evidence for their God as children do for believing in the tooth fairy. Another Oxford professor, Alistair McGrath, who holds doctorates in both molecular biophysics and theology, rebutted Dawkins' claims. He said, "As Christians, we can respond with confidence to the God delusion that Dawkins' arguments are weak, unsupported by evidence, and tell us more about the condition of present-day atheism than about faith in God." Close the quote. How unsupported by scientific evidence Dawkins' claims are may be judged by his reference to belief in God as a virus of the mind. Science knows of the existence of no such virus. It's a pseudo-scientific way of saying that this is Dawkins' personal prejudice. The truth is that he and his evolutionary philosophy have no ultimate explanations for anything. If there were such a thing as a virus of the mind, Dawkins would be suffering from it. However, there's a problem with the manner in which Professor McGrath and most other evangelicals respond to Dawkins. Their position is that natural science does not necessitate either belief in God or atheism, that the question must be settled by other criteria. My question is this: how then can it be true that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork? Or how then could Paul declare the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse? According to Scripture, natural science does demand belief in God. The problem is in the willful blindness of man, not in the testimony of natural science. That's why atheism can never construct a cohesive explanation of the universe. It must always lead to ultimate nonsense. Try as it will, it fails to make the testimony of God's creation an apologist for atheism. It is in God's light alone that we see light. All other supposed light is darkness. the Lord Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The delusional Richard Dawkins supplies the answer. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. It comes to you from Greenville, South Carolina, but we have churches in various parts of the United States and Canada, and we come to you on behalf of all of them. Some of you have written to say that you've enjoyed the ministry. You ask for CDs or tapes or some of the literature that we mention here on the broadcast. Some of you have also written to say that you would like to have a Free Presbyterian witness in your area. We can't promise to be able to send a preacher to all who ask, but we are interested in helping you if we can, and in hearing from those who have a desire to take a stand for God and the old gospel in a day of apostasy. So we would be delighted to hear from you if you think we can be of assistance to you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. We return now to our study of the life of Christ, and particularly the Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at how the Lord Jesus describes his people as a happy people, and how he emphasizes the things in which they're happy, things that the world would count to be an unhappiness rather than a happiness. Today we will look a little further at that subject and pay some attention to the fact that these people are called peacemakers, and that in the context of the kingdom. We're going to repeat a little of what I said yesterday for context, for I want us to see what it means to be a peacemaker in the Church of Jesus Christ. So, with God's Word open before us, let's now return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount. They're peacemakers. Now, understand this is in the kingdom. It's spreading first the kingdom of peace and the peace of the kingdom. It's a gospel peace. But more than that, it is this peacemaking attitude among the subjects of the kingdom. The very opposite to being a troublemaker in the church and a fault finder and a backbiter and a divider. It is making peace. In the kingdom, give yourself to the causing of a biblical, spiritual, Christ-centered, peaceable unity among the people of God. Give yourself to it. Let it burden your heart. Don't be inactive about this. These are not peace receivers. These are peace makers. They spread the peace. They're a forgiving people, not a resentful, bitter people. There are people who are seeking to draw together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good it is. I don't want to get into the 133rd Psalm today. We might never get out of it. But if you look at that, you'll see how God describes it. He describes it first as the holy ointment with which Aaron was anointed. And then he says it's like the dew from Mount Hermon. And actually the waters from Mount Hermon, the dew would come down and it would saturate even the whole of Israel. The whole of the Galilee would be greatly benefited. And this is what he's saying. There is a heavenly dew. There is the blessing of heaven when God's people are so enjoying this unity of the Spirit. Peacemakers in the kingdom. This is the characteristic of the people of God. They're persecuted. Oh, they will have a price to pay. You see, they're blessed, and at the same time, they're blasted. They're loved by God, they're hated by men. They're enjoying Christ, but the world isn't enjoying them. They'd be persecuted. That's why he goes on to talk not only of their character, but their conflict. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul could say, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. This is their conflict. Can I say this to you? And this is going to become more and more clear as we go on. The subjects of the kingdom of God will get enough hatred and opposition from the world without you and me adding to it. Never forget that. There's times you'll come to church. I'm going to be very, very down to earth and very practical here, for I've found this to be so true in years of working with people. There's times you'll come to church and you look at somebody's face and say, what on earth wrong with him or her? What have I done to him or done to her? Man, he looks sour this morning. And maybe he is sour. Just remember this. That's a time not to mock,
but to minister. We come to church from all our diverse backgrounds, with all the unseen things that are going on in our homes and in our lives. We come with burdens. Not everybody can put on a mask and hide the burden. Sometimes it comes out on a fairly dark looking countenance. That's why I'm always a wee bit worried when you judge people. And I hear this all the time. Well, not all the time, but all together too often in this, in the evangelical culture, the fundamentalist culture here in the States. I hear this fairly constantly, judging people by their countenance. Be very careful. Be very careful. I've seen in God's work, people come to church. The miracle isn't that they came with an ugly looking countenance. The miracle is they came at all. There with burdens breaking their heart. Not knowing to whom they could turn. Not having anybody in whom they felt they could confide. What a work of the devil it is when they come among God's people. Instead of the upholding, the love, the ministry of fellow saints, all they get is a bitter criticism that they don't look better. God's people are in the conflict. We're in it together. But we have a confidence. I have to finish very quickly. The confidence is in the promises. Do you notice for every one of these characteristics is a promise? And the confidence is in the prospects. Great is their reward in heaven. Paul, reaching the end of the journey, could say, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. That's our confidence. And a word quickly about our calling. We're salt. We're light. These are the subjects of the kingdom. Salt and light. The quickest way I can deal with this is to do something my wife hates me to do. That is to give you a quotation from another preacher, J.C. Ryle. Ryle said, if words mean anything, we're meant to learn from these two figures, that's from the salt and from the light, that there must be something marked, distinct, and peculiar about our character if we are true Christians. Have we grace? Then it must be seen. Have we the Spirit? Then there must be fruit. Have we any saving religion? Then there must be a difference of tastes, of habits, and turn of mind between us and those who think only of the world. Salt and light evidently imply peculiarity of both heart and life, of faith and practice. And Raya said we must dare to be singular. The word singular, quite local or colloquially today, would be dare to be different. Dare to be the one out of step with the world. We must dare to be singular and unlike the world if we mean to be saved. If we are Christians, then we're salt. And we're light. What does that mean? It means we're called to do some real spiritual good in the world. You and I are not here just to get through. We are not here simply to put in the time. We're not here simply to earn enough dollars to put food on the table and clothes on our back and keep a car on the road and put the kids in school and go through the treadmill of human existence. That's not why we're here. We're here to do some real spiritual good. And if we're not doing spiritual good, we are failing in the very calling of our being subjects of the kingdom. We are called to carry the savor of grace into a world that's stinking with the corruption of wickedness. We are the salt of the earth. We are to act as a purifying and preserving agent. And let me tell you the greatest thing that Christians can do for America. It's not to join a political party. If you want to be involved in a political party, do it very carefully. But I'm not here to fight with you in that. That's not the best thing you can do for America. To lower the tax rates. I'll be very happy if you can do that. Get mine down first. But that's not the best thing you can do for America. Best thing you can do for America is to be a pure, holy, dedicated, separated, Christ-like subject of His kingdom and spread that pure gospel wherever you go. That's what will purify and that's what will preserve this nation. And I want to tell you something, you may not like it. If America continues to reject the gospel, it will not be worth preserving any more than Britain or my own little province in Northern Ireland. Many a time as I go there and I see the corruption and get the stench of wickedness and the rejection of the gospel, I've told our men this. Unless God intervenes very quickly, there's nothing here worth preserving. Don't tell me it's democracy. I would much prefer democracy to tyranny, and I love the freedoms and all the rest of it, but don't tell me that democracy can take the place of the gospel. That's not going to preserve, and it's not worth preserving the nation for. You're the salt. You're the light. Shine with the light of truth and holiness. Truth preached and truth practiced. Let your light so shine before men. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let us be as a city that's set on a hill. Why? We are the subjects of the kingdom of God. That is of this character. Endure this confidence or this conflict in the confidence that the promises and the prospects of the gospel are ours. And let us pursue this calling as the subjects of the King of Glory. I trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. I trust that Christ will minister to you personally, and you'll go away astonished and moved because He has spoken with authority and with blessing to your heart.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.